He didn't give you any time to waste on Sunday night, so he gets you right into it, doesn't he? That's all right. I got some things that have been on my mind of late, and probably said this same statement that last time I preached at 11 o'clock. I'm concerned for our families. I'm concerned for our marriages. Satan is just knocking them around like you wouldn't believe. Not only outside the church, but what bothers me most is inside the church. So I'm going to talk about fathers, seeing how it's Father's Day. Oh, I've got a heading up here. I call it leader servant. So when I thumb through my, when I thumb through my sermons that I keep sometimes, that I pull them out of what I call my archives, I can look at the top up there and I know basically what it's in here. Would you agree with me that we are part of something bigger than ourselves? Especially being fathers. Supposed to be spiritual leaders of our households. And I want to talk about that tonight because we are part of something bigger than ourselves. So let us not get caught up in ourselves. Because it's not about my needs as a father, but it's about the needs of the family as a unit. I'm going to start by reading a couple of Proverbs. First one will be Proverbs 17:6. My notes are a mess, so if I don't keep track, I'll be reading them over and over again. 17:6. This is kind of fitting, I thought, when I read it, seeing as I'm a brand new grandfather. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Proverbs 20:7. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. A couple proverbs that I thought might try and set the tone with this evening. Because being fathers, we're examples to our children and to our families. We're also leaders. And there's two types of examples and two types of leaders. There's good ones and there's bad ones. So which one do you want to be as a father? And as wives and children, which type of leader do you want? Do you want them to be a dictator? Or do you want them to be a good leader that teaches by example? If you think about it, you've probably seen both types. Which ones make the better family units? I would say the leader that leads by example. I took a few notes on Alvin's sermons this morning. He didn't really hit too much on what I want to talk about, but there's a couple of them that I'd like to go over again, and the first one's in Ephesians 6. And I'm going to read verse 4. You've got the others this morning. And I thought it was quite appropriate that he talked about our Heavenly Father this morning because it's His Father's Day. It's His Father's Day every day. Ephesians 6 and 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I think it's a responsibility we have as fathers and leaders of our households is to bring up our children in the nurture. That means to bring them along and to teach them the right things in life and to teach them the way that things ought to be done, to nurture them in their growth and in their spiritual growth especially. And admonition of the Lord. In the nurture and admonition of the Lord. When the Lord admonishes us, it's in a good way. It's in a way that we learn by it. It's in a good way. And then Jim read one, or talked about a scripture in the Book of Mormon on page 198. I'm going to read it. I thought it was a good one. It's in the Book of Jerem. It's going to be verse 17. Jerem was talking about the battles that they had had with the Lamanites and that they were exceeding more numerous than the Nephites, and they loved murder, and they loved to drink the blood of beasts. And it says they came, verse 16, and it came to pass that they came many times against us, the Nephites, to battle. But our kings and our leaders were mighty men in the faith of the Lord, and they taught the people the ways of the Lord. And I'm sitting here looking, and we've got grandparents in the audience. We've got parents in the audience that still have kids at home. Luke's got a little girl with him. Daniel's getting ready to get married. I'm sure that they've talked about children. Do you want to be a leader like it talks here? A mighty man of faith in the Lord. Because He's the one we draw our strength from. And that's the way we need to teach our children. We need to teach them the ways of the Lord. It's getting tougher and tougher nowadays with all the outside interference that we have. And the barrage of mortars that are getting lobbed at the family unit. I think it's more important today than ever. Y'all must be sitting in a dead spot because I'm getting a lot of feedback, it sounds like. Okay. Well, it looked like some people were straining to hear, and I didn't want to start hollering because it's... But you know, I think about that, and I think about myself, and I think, boy, I must have done something right with all the mistakes I made as a leader of my household. Because it doesn't come with instructions. But yet I have two wonderful daughters who, as far as I'm concerned, married two wonderful men. And I believe that my grandchildren will get raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I believe that they'll be taught the ways of the Lord. So I'm a fairly happy man at this point in life. The Lord has blessed me greatly. I'd like to go to page 652 and read one more verse. Alvin read it. I'm going to talk about it just a little bit. It was one I was looking for this morning, and for whatever reason, I couldn't find it. As I was getting some notes jotted down and getting ready to put the final touches on the sermon that I felt like was in my head. It's verse 52 in the third book of Nephi, the 8th chapter. It's talking about prayer. And verse 52 says, "Pray in your families unto the Father, always in my name," that would be in Jesus' name, "that your wives and your children may be blessed." I asked the parent of the fathers, have you done that? Have you prayed that your wives and your children would be blessed? I spent a lot of hours on my knees for my children. And a lot of my prayers have been answered. And I'm very thankful for that. Because I've read this many times over and I thought, I need to pray for my wife and my children that they would be blessed. And they have been. We sat around sometimes and we talk about our blessings, Lana and myself. And it's very humbling. It hadn't been an easy time. Would anybody here say that raising children is easy? I don't see any hands going up. No, it's not easy, but the mission of raising our children is very worthwhile, especially when you see a good outcome, that they've been released into the world and they know their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And they know whom they need to go to in times of need, not only in times of need, but each and every day. Lan and I have gotten into a little bit more camping here of late this last year, or this spring, that's what I'm looking for. And we are down at Knob Noster State Park, and it's not very far away, and it's close to a military base. And I was sitting in my chair out beside our trailer, and it was Friday night. I was on vacation that whole week after theme camp, and it was the next weekend after theme camp. And I was sitting there and I was observing the people coming in and stuff, and I saw this family that came in, and I was just amazed at the way they worked together. The guy finally started looking back at me because I was just focused on what they were doing, that I was probably bothering him as much as I was staring at what they were doing. But anyway, what it was he must have been a military man just by the way things went. But he wasn't an ogre or a dictator in his family. You could just tell that he had started raising his children right from the start. It was a family that was made up of the father and a mother and two sons and a small daughter. And I was kind of relating it to when I think about it and I read military books about people that have been in the military and how they relate their experience to their spiritual life. I like to read those type things, and I'm reading one now that's called A More Elite Soldier, and it's written by an Army Ranger, and he's put it together real well. It's I like it. I was never in the military myself, but I like to read those type things and see how they put their experiences to their spiritual life. But anyway, this family, they were transported in a minivan. The mom came in and dropped off the husband and the two boys, and they got out of the van and they proceeded to put this camp up in military fashion, and there was no grumbling. And if something needed to be asked of the father, he would just calmly, say whatever he needed to say, and they would obey him and they would go do it. It was a well example of obey your parents. That is very neat. He didn't have to holler at him or anything, and they got their place ready to go. The mother left with the daughter somewhere, or after she dropped the husband and boys off, she didn't stick around, she just left, and the boys got the tent, two tents that they were going to be sleeping in ready, and they got their fishing stuff ready and put on their backpacks, and they're off in single file down the road to go to wherever they were going fishing to. And it was perfect. I mean, there wasn't a flaw in what they were doing, and I was amazed. When I was watching them, I was just amazed. A little bit later, they came back and they finished getting their camp ready and everything, and the mother and daughter showed up. The father and the sons did the cooking, and I thought it was great. The mother, she got to sit down and relax. And the little girl, she was a little girl. But yet she still had these little things that she went around and did and pestered her dad and pestered her brothers. But none of them hollered at her or told her to get out of here or anything. They put up with it and helped her, and they just kept going about their business. And after dinner was over, the husband and his two boys, they cleaned up. And I was amazed at that also. The mother, she got to enjoy it and watch it all. I don't know what they did that evening. I got caught up into my own camping at that point. But I noticed the next morning that I'm up fairly early, around 5:30 or 6, and I went outside, and they were already up and going at it. And they were getting out the utensils to cook breakfast. And they got their stuff out and had it all set up in a orderly fashion. Guess who did the cooking? The father and the two sons. They did all the cooking themselves, and the mother, she hadn't got up yet. She was still in her tent. And they roused her up, and she got up, and they served her breakfast, and they ate also. And after it was done, they cleaned up, the father and the two sons. And I did not hear a grumbling murmur out of any of those two boys, either one of those two boys or the father, the whole time they were there. And it really did seem like that they were on a mission. And it warmed my heart to know that there are families out there that work together without murmuring and complaining. And like I said, the way they did it, I wished I had a tape of it. It was just fabulous. But he must have started those young boys. He must have one of the boys probably wasn't old enough to drive yet. I'd say maybe he was, I'd say maybe 15, maybe 16, I'm not sure. And then his brother was probably a couple, 3 years behind him. But I would dare to say that he started those boys when they were small children out the right way. And that's when it needs to start. You need to start teaching your children about the Lord early and about obeying early. But yet, as fathers, we need to set the example ourselves. We need to obey the Lord. We need to do what He says in the Scriptures. On a military mission, you've got a unit. And they always have to get from point A to point B. And if they're on foot, they don't just take off by a map, they have a compass. They use a compass, and it talks about, and I'm not an orienteer, I'm not one that runs around the woods with a compass. I know that it points to magnetic north, and that's about all I know about a compass. However, it talks about a fixed point of reference. Does anybody know what a fixed point of reference is? It would be a rock or a tree or a hill. It would be something that is set and it's not moving, so you can use your compass, however they use those, for a fixed point of reference. Gary's shaking his head. Maybe I should have him explain a compass. But it's a fixed point of reference, and that's what fixed means, is it doesn't move, and that way you always know where it's at, and you can tell where you're at by your compass. And if you don't follow your compass, and you're running around in the dark especially, you can lose your way. And then I got to thinking about the Scriptures. And our Scriptures are our compass in a way. They need to be our fixed point of reference, that which we go to, our standard to live by. We need to know what it says in the Scriptures so we can know which way to go. So we can be guided by it. If we start going off on our own and with our own in our own ways and stuff, we're going to get off track. And the mission, as far as I'm concerned, would probably be a failure as far as the mission of raising godly children. And I take our example of a leader from Jesus. Because He's the one that we should look at. He tells us to follow Him. And I think there's a lot to take from Him as far as how to be a good leader of our families. Hebrews, the second chapter. I'll read verses 14 through 18. Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on himself the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. That means he became flesh and blood. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself had suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. When I read that, it tells me that Jesus came to earth to know what it was like. That he went through the things that we go through, so he knows how to succor us. He didn't come as an angel, he came in flesh and blood. He felt the same things that we feel. He went through the same things that we go through, even more. He went through things even unto death. He died for those who opposed him even. You know, when I think of being a good leader, I think, well, do you just stand on the sidelines? I mean, if I was in some really nasty place as far as weather goes and things that I might have to do in my life and stuff, I would like to know that I had a leader that just doesn't sit in his office and say, well, you go do that because you're the subordinate. You know, a leader that's never been through the things that he's wanting to put his subordinates through. I don't know as I'd have a whole lot of respect for him. I'd have respect for the office, sure. But for the individual, knowing myself, I don't know. But Jesus didn't do that. As fathers, I think he gave us an example that we are to, if we're to expect our children to do something, I think we should expect ourselves to be able to do it also. Whether it's mowing the yard, doing the dishes, doing laundry, taking out the trash, mopping the floor, doing maintenance on the vehicles so they keep running. I think we need to lead by example, good example. And I believe that Jesus set the example. The next three scriptures I have go along pretty much along the same lines. They're in the three different Gospels. It's in Luke, Mark, and Matthew. But each of them says something just a little bit different about what it is I feel like to be a leader. And a good leader, they're a servant. They don't just dictate to their families. They serve their families. So let's go to Luke, the 22nd chapter. Luke 22:24 and there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. This would be the disciples, the apostles that Jesus had there, those 12 that wandered around with him, followed after him everywhere he went. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that setteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that setteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me. When I look at the scriptures there, it tells me that we need to take the needs of others first, or to put the needs of others first. In verse 26, he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. I've got that underlined in my Bible because I have to remember that I am to serve my family. And being a minister, I am to serve you all. Let's take a look at Mark 10. Mark 10, verse 41. Read verses 41 through 45. It's pretty much the same thing, a little bit different. This was James and John, and they wanted to sit on the... They wanted to sit on each side of Jesus. But I'll start at verse 41. And when the ten heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John, but Jesus called them to him, and saith unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. And verse 45 is what I was looking at. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many. Even Jesus, in all of His glory, didn't come down here for us to minister to Him, as it says here. The Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister. And if I'm going to follow after Jesus Christ, I feel like it's telling me that I need to minister to my family. I don't need to go sit on my throne and let them wait on me hand and foot. Bring me something to drink. For one thing, my wife had hit me with it. And rightfully so. And rightfully so. Because I didn't become a husband and a father to be waited upon, I don't feel like. Because I had an example to follow. I had a grandfather that I remember wearing an apron. When we would go down to my grandparents almost every weekend, they both lived in the same little town of Windsor. That's where my mother and father grew up. That's where all three of us boys were born. We moved away when I was two, but anyway, we went back regularly. And my mom's stepdad, I didn't know my real grandfather on my mother's side. He died before I was born. But this man, he was my grandfather. And he fought in the trenches of France in World War I, so he wasn't a sissy. But yet when we would go down there, he would strap on his apron and he would help my grandmother make and prepare the meals. And then he would help her clean up afterwards. And for some reason, that image of him is the one that sticks in my mind. He set that example of ministering to his family for me. One verse from the 23rd chapter of Matthew. Matthew 23, verse 11. It's the same thing I've been talking about, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And I go to James. I got a couple verses there that I have to always remember also. It's in the first chapter of James. You know, I was thinking about what it takes to be a good leader, a good father figure to our families, and to those who may be looking on, as I was that one day at Camp Knob Noster at the State Park. You know, it's another attribute, I think, of being a good leader is, starts in verse 19 of chapter 1 of James, where it says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." I felt like a good leader would listen to his children and to his wife and see what they have to say. Because it says they're swift to hear. How am I going to know what the needs of my family unit is if I don't listen to what's going on? Or if I don't listen to my wife, who we happen to be blessed that Lana could stay home while our children were growing up. Some families aren't blessed in such a fashion. I wish they all could be. I think it's a great thing. But I don't know what goes on in my children's head all the time, and I don't know what went on during the day lots of times. And if I saw that there was one of them that would just, there was something going on that you can just kind of see in their countenance, I'd have to ask Lana what was going on, and she would tell me. But I had to listen, I had to hear. I just couldn't go barging in and saying, "I don't know what your problem is, but you just better straighten it up." I heard that growing up, and I didn't like it. Although at times I needed it, because as you all, if you know me very well, you know I can be Mark, I guess is the only way of saying it. Swift to hear, though, and then it says slow to speak. I think when it says slow to speak, it gives us time to ponder over what we've listened to. Gives our brains time to engage. And then it says also slow to wrath. Probably about every father has probably went off the handle a little bit sooner than he needed to from time to time. And it was the wrath of man. It wasn't the wrath of God. And they were probably very sorry for it afterwards. Because they may not have taken the time to listen to what was going on. And they may not have been slow to speak. And they may not have been slow to wrath. So do we listen to the needs of our wives and children? It's a question you'll have to answer. Do we practice the golden rule? Does everybody know what that is? Basically, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's not exactly the wording when I read it. And do we practice charity in our families? You know, in the Book of Mormon on page 768, and also in the Bible, I think it's in 1 Corinthians, and I may be wrong here, but I think it may be the 13th chapter, I'm not sure. But it talks about charity and talks about what the attributes of charity are. One of them is patience, I believe. Am I wrong? Do we practice those things in our families? Or do we think as being men or being husbands, being fathers, that we're entitled to sit in our easy chair with our feet kicked up and be waited on hand and foot? It's not practicing charity, and I don't believe it's practicing the golden rule. And I very well may be preaching to the choir tonight. But it made me stop and think. especially about Father's Day, you know, on what is it? What are the attributes of a good leader? And that's what I tried to bring forth tonight. The last scripture I have is Psalms 128. There it is. Psalms 28, verses 1 through 4. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. We need to have the fear of the Lord as leaders, to look to Him as our example, so we can stay focused on so we can stay focused on the mission of raising our children to be godly children and leading our families into righteousness. Because in some of the books I read, the first thing is the mission. That's what they focus on. That's what we need to focus on, is our mission as fathers and grandfathers. The second thing is they focus on the men in their unit, which would be our wives and our children. We need to make sure that we take care of them first. And then the last one is me. Our needs have to come after the first two. And I think it's important to really realize that as fathers, we are to be servants for our wives and our children, in such a way that it's pleasing unto the Lord. So I hope that I've brought some information to you here tonight that will be useful in your lives. That was my intent. It's helped me out putting this sermon together. So I thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Mark. Few announcements.